Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we will ask the question in just a minute, what will make the United States an economic engine again? Will it be green industry, with one of the most interesting people I have interviewed all year, who we have invited back for this occasion to take a new look at his ideas through the lens of the financial crisis? Now, what will make the United States an economic engine again? Many people think it will be green industry. And because of the financial crisis, I started thinking again about one of the most interesting people that we had on the show from the Aspen Ideas Festival this summer. That's where we met him, and so we invited him back. He is Van Jones, author of a new book called The Green Collar Economy, How One Solution Can Fix Our Two Biggest Problems. This book came out just before the financial crisis hit, but now it seems even more forward-looking than it did before, with chapters including one called The Green New Deal. Van is a Yale Law School grad, now promoting a green-collar economy from Oakland, California, where he lives. And guess what? I must not be the only person who is thinking of Van Jones in relation to the financial crisis, because his book has skyrocketed to number 12 on the New York Times bestseller list. Hi, Van. Welcome back to WNYC. Thanks for doing this with us again.
Happy to be here. Exciting.
On your book title, The Green Collar Economy, How One Solution Can Fix Our Two Biggest Problems. Are those two problems global warming and the economy?
Bingo. Those are the two big ones. Our financial system is melting down. We were already in a horrible recession, and in some parts of the country it felt like a depression before the financial meltdown. Let's not forget the mortgage crisis probably wiped out more African-American wealth. It probably took us back to 1950 levels because of the redlining and then the predatory lending. So we were, hit doubly hard by the mortgage meltdown, and now the rest of the country has kind of followed us down the stairs. So that's huge. Same time, we have, the problems of global warming, energy price rise. My view is that we can fix both the problems. We can power our way through the recession, put Americans back to work, fight poverty by putting people to work in the green sector.
So let's chew over some of this. On the idea of a Green New Deal, you probably had no idea, first of all, that when you wrote the book, that we would all be talking about the 1930s and the New Deal again, just as your book was coming out. So what do you mean by a Green New Deal?
Well, what I mean is that we're going to have smarter public-private cooperation. In other words, we're going to have a smart role for government in getting us out of this mess. But mainly, the private sector can fix most of the problems that we see in the environment. The technology is here. The innovation is there. The problem is that the rules by which our market works are wacky. If you're a polluter, you get a triple subsidy. The government, if you're big coal, you're big oil, the government gives you billions of dollars in direct subsidies. Then the Pentagon spends billions of dollars defending your oil supply lines. And you get to pollute with the most dangerous stuff ever, carbon, for free. So you have a triple subsidy. But if you're a solar entrepreneur, you're in wind, you're in geothermal, you had to beg for tiny little tax credits extended this year. That doesn't make sense. We need to change the rules so that the polluters have to pay and we stop paying the polluters. That will send a market signal, let our clean energy revolution go forward, and then the government's going to have to invest in training to have a world-class green-collar workforce. Solar panels don't install themselves. Windmills don't make themselves. But you could put Detroit back to work, not making SUVs, but making wind turbines and solar panels, and put the country back to work.
So you write that a top priority for the next president would be to create 5 million green jobs as part of a plan to reduce energy consumption dramatically by 2015. And let me focus on that a little more. Why jobs to reduce energy consumption rather than emission standards and things like that, and let the private sector take care of the jobs?
Well, those two things go hand in hand. It's kind of a myth that government can do it by itself. It's a myth also that the private sector can do it by itself. The government needs to set standards, create markets. For instance, the new president, when he walks in the door, should just come in with a big bundle of papers under his arms called executive orders. He doesn't have to go to Congress. He doesn't have to ask anybody. And he can just start signing them. And he can just declare you know, the U.S. government will only purchase cars that have X, you know, level of efficiency. We will only, you know, use chemicals that have X amount of, you know, toxicity. And just literally declare, and this is, you know, perfectly, you know, the Bush did that in the wrong direction, literally use that executive office to create green markets and to push us in a certain direction. Now, then the private sector has to jump in and meet those contracts, but there's a relationship here.
And when you say the government can create 5 million jobs, creating, you know, the equivalent of the Civilian Conservation Corps from the New Deal era, it's funny because when we think about a new green economy, we usually think of PhD engineers inventing new kinds of engines or organic chemists breeding, you know, carbon-munching microorganisms. But you say in the book, let's be clear, the main piece of technology in the green economy is a caulk gun. Talk about that.
Well, that's right. And, you know, it's so funny because, you know, we do think about the green economy. We think about these George Jetson, Space Age, Buck Rogers, all this highfalutin stuff, when the reality is that the low-hanging fruit for carbon reductions and for putting people back to work is simply weatherizing and energy retrofitting millions and millions of buildings across the country. You know, if you double pane the glass and blow in some green insulation and replace those old inefficient boilers with new ones, you can reduce the amount of energy that buildings consume, therefore the amount of carbon we're putting up, by 30%. Now, then you can, in the energy savings alone, you can pay for that within 2 to 4 years, according to McKinsey. What does that mean? That means we can put people to work, retrofitting America, rebooting, retrofitting, and hey, as long as you're weatherizing, put a solar panel up there too. Retrofits and renewables, that's caulk guns, that's hand drills, that's work boots, that's green hard hats, that's off-the-shelf technology. But you could literally, with, you know, the proper incentives, create 2 to 5 million jobs. Now, these aren't jobs the government's going to pay for. These are jobs, you know, private sector jobs, but the government sets a table and can help with some creative financing, revolving loan funds, et cetera. And this stuff could pay for itself within 2 to 4 years, revenue neutral. You're bringing down carbon, you're bringing up jobs, you're bringing up home values, you're bringing down asthma because the power plants aren't going to have to work so hard. It's a win-win-win. It's a gimme. And yet we act as if the only way to get the economy going is to give billions of dollars to bankers.
Van Jones, my guest on WNYC, author of The Green Collar Economy, How One Solution Can Fix Our Two Biggest Problems. His second time on the show, and since he was last here, a lot of people have started paying attention to this, and the book has shot up to number 12 on the New York Times bestseller list. Now, apparently, one of your readers must be Barack Obama, because you're talking about 5 million new green-collar jobs as your prescription for whoever the next president is. Here is a clip from a speech that Barack Obama gave in Iowa this summer.
We're going to invest $150 billion over the next 10 years to establish a new American energy sector. We're going to create 5 million new jobs in the green energy sector. Good jobs, jobs that can't be outsourced. And we're going to help American manufacturers. We're going to help American manufacturers, particularly in the auto industry, convert to green technology and help workers learn the skills they need to stay ahead in the global economy.
All right, Van, who really came up with that 5 million number first, you or him?
Well, first of all, that 5 million number is a number that a number of organizations, including One Sky, which people should check out online, One Sky, a beautiful climate solutions organization, the Apollo Alliance, Green for All, my organization, came up with, and we've been pushing it and promoting it. So I'm happy. You know, again, we're a nonprofit, not partisan organization, so we're happy for any politician to adopt it. It's the right number, and it's been backed up now by a tough study done by some economists through the Center for American Progress. It shows, you know, you can get 2 million jobs in the first 2 years with a very modest, about $100 billion investment. A lot of it pays for itself. I'm screaming about this because people are worried about energy prices. People are worried about the war. People are worried about our military being overstretched. People are worried about jobs. And there is a Green Deal solution right there. And, come back off the roof. Don't jump. You know, yeah. we can do this.
And our listeners are so concerned about this that when we did our 30 Issues in 30 Days presidential election series, issue nominating process and then vote with our listeners, alternative energy came up the number one issue. And we did it as issue 10 in the series. So we'll call this kind of issue 10A, our alternative energy follow-up with Van Jones, for just another couple of minutes. And you even suggest in the book that the federal government underwrite risk in green technology investment. Now, Van, that line would have been a snooze 6 weeks ago. But now the big Western governments are trying to save their countries by underwriting risk in the banks. How would they do that for green industrial investment?
Well, you know, we've been willing to do it for the nuclear industry for a long time, so it's nothing new. But what we're saying is, you know, there are certain things that the risk makes capital more averse to jumping in. So in a revenue-neutral way, most of the time, the government can say, listen, don't worry about it, we'll back you up. What I want to say before we get off the phone, though, is the importance of your show and the importance of this radio station. These ideas that are just now hitting the mainstream, as you point out, you've been talking about them. You've been discussing them. Your viewers are interested. I mean, no, your viewers, your listeners are interested, and they need an outlet. People need to contribute and support independent radio. Boy, you didn't ask me to do that.
I didn't ask you to do this. I'm surprised.
But I can't not do it. Because this is how America gets educated. We don't get educated with, you know, Entertainment Tonight or whatever. We get educated by these kind of shows, this kind of commentary. And I appreciate the opportunity to come on because, you know, this is the way that good ideas go from the margin to the center.
Thank you very much for that plug. And I'm going to ask you one more substantive question, and it's a tough one because, unfortunately, the big headline on page one of the New York Times business section today, I don't know if you saw it, is alternative energy suddenly faces headwinds.
Yes.
And it says shares of alternative energy companies have fallen even more sharply than most these last few weeks, mostly for two reasons. These are capital-intensive startups at a time when credit is scarce, and recession means lower oil prices, which means people will be less anxious to switch to new things. So take our last minute and tell us how you fight those obstacles.
Well, first of all, you know, leave it to George Bush to figure out how to bring oil prices down. Don't regulate anything and crash the world economy. That brings down prices pretty well. But at some point, those prices are going to go back up. Once the economy gets revved back up again globally, we're going to have even more competition for oil and for coal. And that's why we need the government to say, we're going to ignore the short-term market signals. We're going to actually, you know, step up our efforts to, you know, move forward. You have to have some green Keynesianism, some green deficit spending on this to get it to happen. But once we've built out a clean energy sector, guess what? We are free from crazy overseas events and oil price rises. Sun and wind and geothermal are free. Once you deal with the capital costs, we've got to keep our eyes focused on that, put America to work, build a clean energy grid, and we will have free energy inputs. You pay for transmission always. You pay for capital, but you'll have free energy inputs within 10 years. It's worth deficit spending to get you there.
Well, let's hope. Van Jones, we first met him at the Aspen Ideas Festival in early July. He has since come out with this new book, which has quickly risen to number 12 on the New York Times bestseller list, called The Green Collar Economy, How One Solution Can Fix Our Two Biggest Problems. Thanks for the shout out for the membership drive, and thanks for the very interesting ideas.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.